The Truth News Network. Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
That's what we're all about at the Truth News Network, unearthing the truth for you. And there is much of it that is being dug up every day by us here and by those in conservative media and, of course, the Senate intelligence committees and several other committees in Congress that are unbearing all of the untruths and exposing all of the corruption in Washington, D.C. And there's a long, long way to go. Today, we are going to talk about Obama's Department of Justice, and we're going to talk about in that DOJ the corruption that is at its worst, and it's still going on. But have you noticed the total absence of those former arguments about the alleged corruption in the Obama Department of Justice? I honestly think there may be two reasons for the current lack of anger about those. You're not hearing a lot about the old corruption that was exposed. One reason is people just grew tired of the repetitious news coverage of pieces of evidence of corruption and just turned off. And or the media has purposely ratcheted up their already deafening attacks on President Trump in an effort to make Americans forget about DOJ corruption. But with the daily revelations of more Obama Department of Justice corruption, it seems to be appropriate for us to simply remind everyone of just a few instances of Obama DOJ corruption, as it appears to have been even deeper and more widespread than pretty much anyone first thought. Then, Obama-era DOJ corruption before Trump. Yep, we've got Obama DOJ corruption after Trump was inaugurated and before Trump was inaugurated. Remember this? Eric Holder was the first attorney general in history to be held in contempt of Congress when he stonewalled committee probes of the Fast and Furious investigation. Fast and Furious itself was a scandal involving the government's reckless abuse of investigative powers for the purpose of fabricating an anti-gun narrative. Instead, its gunwalking resulted in the killing of a federal agent, among other violent crimes. And speaking of General Holder, he made misleading representations about both Fast and Furious and the investigation of Fox News journalist James Rosen. Remember that? They targeted James Rosen. They stole his emails. They wiretapped him illegally. The IRS's intimidation and abuse of President Obama's political opponents and the cover-up thereof resulted in no charges and little apparent investigation. Lois Lerner, she got a fat retirement. Nothing happened to her, even though what she did in the IRS on her watch was illegal. There were politicized prosecutions against Dinesh D'Souza, an Obama critic whose minor campaign finance infraction was treated as a major felony when more serious violations are typically disposed of by administrative fines. And Nakula Basley Nowali, the anti-Muslim video producer scapegoated by the Obama administration for the Benghazi massacre, he got nailed too. Do you recall the misrepresentations by Justice Department lawyers to a federal court in the litigation over Obama's lawless immigration non-enforcement programs, DACA and DAPA? Lies the judge found to be, quote, intentional, serious, and material. The Department of Justice reportedly refused to impanel a grand jury in either the email case or in connection with the FBI's investigation of the Clinton Foundation pay-for-play allegations. The problem here is this investigation was never a real investigation, former Assistant FBI Director James Kallstrom said. He continued, that's the problem. They never had a grand jury impaneled. And the reason they never had a grand jury impaneled, I'm sure, is Loretta Lynch, who was Attorney General, would not go along with that. Further, the Department of Justice reportedly refused to allow the FBI to issue subpoenas to gather more evidence in connection with its investigation of the Clinton Foundation pay for play allegations. That fact, that they wouldn't issue any more subpoenas, that fact just came out and became public knowledge. Then there were the Justice Department's outrageous misconduct and serial lies in a prosecution of New Orleans police, which a federal judge variously described as, and I'm quoting the judge, bizarre, appalling, and grotesque conclusions upheld by the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court. And of course, the Clinton emails investigation featuring Justice Department collusion with Clinton camp lawyers, inexplicable immunity deals. Everybody in the Clinton campaign and everybody affiliated with Hillary Clinton got a blanket immunity deal. Suspects who received immunity permitted to appear as lawyers for other suspects. No prosecutions despite significant evidence, several immunity grants, and patently misleading statements during FBI interviews. A furtive tarmac tete-a-tete between the attorney general and the main suspect's husband, who happened to be the former U.S. president, who just happened to have launched the attorney general into public prominence, and who was positioned to influence whether the attorney general got to keep her job in an anticipated Hillary Clinton administration just days before it was announced. Surprise, that there would be no indictment of Hillary Clinton. And startling public commentary by the FBI regarding an uncharged case that bore heavily on a presidential election. That alone may go down as the most egregious infraction of any Department of Justice in U.S. history. Subsequent to the AG's chat aboard Clinton's jet in Arizona, it was learned that Attorney General Lynch was conducting official DOJ business via an alias name and email address. You may not have heard this. Her name, pseudonym, is Elizabeth Carlisle, and that email address was ecarlisle@jmd.usdoj.gov. Why would any attorney general use an alias and communicate via a secret email address other than to hide from the public certain actions taken if those actions were legal and above board? The answer is very simple. They probably weren't legal. They certainly, I'm sure, were not above board. And the big reason, she didn't want to get discovered. Well, let's talk about the carryover, Obama-era DOJ corruption carryover into the Trump administration. How many and who in the DOJ that were Obama carryovers have resigned, retired, been demoted, or fired since the Obama administration ended? Now, we formally, in another story on our website, truthnewsnet.org, shared from this list, but the names have been added to the list, and the list gets longer and longer. Let's look at the Department of Justice non-FBI senior management employment departures. There's John Carlin, assistant AG, head of the Department of Justice National Security Division, announced his resignation on September 27th of 2016 after filing the government's proposed 2016 Section 702 certifications the day before. The filing does not disclose known FISA abuses. Carlin is aware National Security Administration Director Rogers is conducting a compliance review which will uncover the FISA abuse. Trump surveillance originated under Carlin's tenure. And then Sally Yates, Deputy AG and Acting Attorney General, replacing Loretta Lynch for 10 days, was fired January 30th. Of 2017, complicit in Flynn surveillance and surveillance of the Trump campaign. Mary McCord, acting AG, acting head of DOJ's National Security Division, replacing John Carlin, announced resignation on April 17th of 2017, left on May 11th, 2017, complicit in Flynn surveillance and surveillance of the Trump campaign. And then there's Bruce Orr, Associate Deputy Attorney General, was demoted twice, was stripped of Associate Deputy Attorney General title on December 6, 2017, removed as head of the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force on January 8, 2018, unofficial liaison between Fusion GPS and the FBI Department of Justice. His wife, Nellie, worked at Fusion GPS. No conflict there, right? Long-standing ties to both Christopher Steele and Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS. David Loftman, DOJ National Security Division, Deputy Assistant Attorney General in charge of counterintelligence, resigned February 7, 2018. Loftman played a leading role in the Clinton email server and Russian hacking investigations. Rachel Brand, Associate AG, number three official behind Deputy AG Rosenstein, resigned February 9, 2018. Takes a top legal position at Walmart. Brand played a critical role in Congress's reauthorization of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Tricia Beth Anderson, from the Office of Legal Counsel for the FBI, was demoted or reassigned. Never got that figured out exactly. Peter Kadzik, Assistant Attorney General, was Congressional Liaison. Peter Kadzik resigned. Matthew Axelrod, a Principal Assistant to Deputy Attorney General, also resigned. And then there's Preet Bharara. You remember him. He was U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. Very controversial. He was fired along with 45 other U.S. attorneys, which is pretty much standard proper procedures for any incoming president to do. Sharon McGowan, Civil Rights Division, she resigned. Diana Flynn, Litigation Director for LGBTQ Civil Rights, resigned. Vanita Gupta, Civil Rights Division, resigned. And Joel McElvain, Assistant Branch Director of the Civil Division of the DOJ, also resigned. And let's go ahead and look at the FBI. James Comey, FBI Director, was fired May 9th of 2017, oversaw all FBI operations, including the exoneration of Clinton and Trump-Russia investigation, reported to Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Peter Strzok, Deputy Assistant Director of FBI's Counterintelligence, forced off Mueller's team, was demoted August 16, 2017, to FBI's Human Resources. Inspector General Horowitz discovered text beginning July 27, 2017, and subsequent tests keep coming out almost daily between Strzok and Lisa Page. Strzok involved in all facets of the Clinton exoneration. He was a working member of the insurance policy group. He was fired August 13, 2018. Lisa Page, Peter Strzok's paramour, was an FBI DOJ lawyer, forced off Mueller's team too, demoted August 16, 2017 to parts unknown. Inspector General Horowitz discovered those same texts, was a working member of insurance policy group, was struck. She resigned May 4th of 2018. James Baker, FBI's general counsel, was demoted and reassigned December 20th of 2017. He was a working member of that famous insurance policy group. Senior most legal counsel at FBI was the role he held. He resigned May 4th of 2018. James Rybicki was chief of staff to FBI Director James Comey and Comey's successor, Chris Wray. He resigned or was forced out, don't know for sure, January 23rd, 2018. He was a working member of that insurance policy group. You know, it must be some kind of insurance company to have so many high-level FBI and DOJ supervisory people involved in an insurance policy group. It's going to be interesting if we ever get it cleared up exactly what was in that insurance policy. Then there's Andrew McCabe, Deputy FBI Director. On December 23rd, 2017, he announced his retirement effective March 22nd of 2018. But he was forced to resign on January 29th. He was involved in all aspects of pretty much everything. He reported only to James Comey. Josh Campbell, special assistant to Comey, he resigned February 2nd of 2018, wrote an op-ed in the New York Times on why he was leaving, but he did not disclose in the op-ed that he was special assistant to Comey or that he had been offered lucrative CNN job. He took a job with CNN February 5th, 2018. Michael Cortan, FBI Assistant Director for Public Affairs. He resigned February 8th of 2018. It was effective February 15th. Cortan served as Assistant Director for Public Affairs, an influential job that controlled all media access. And you can bet he's in the crosshairs of members of Congress and probably Inspector General Horowitz because of all of the media leaks that apparently happened on James Comey's watch. Cortan had to be in the middle of it. Bill Priestap, Assistant Director. He was the head of FBI counterintelligence, held the same position. Strzok's former boss reported directly to McCabe. Greg Bauer, Assistant Director for the Office of Congressional Affairs. He resigned. Michael Steinbach, Executive Assistant Director, was resigned as well. He was asked to. John Giacalone, Executive Assistant Director, resigned. And James Turgow, Executive Assistant Director, resigned. Incidentally, there are others that unofficially are being watched regarding the continuation of their employment with the Department of Justice and the FBI. We're going to end this segment by me saying this. Never before in U.S. history, never before in United States history, never has there been such a rush of people to either be fired, forced to resign, or have left voluntarily any Department of Justice or FBI in American history. It's unprecedented. Why the heck is it going on? Back after this at the Truth News Network.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them! Stay back, I've got mace!
Ow, they're one of my eyes!
Quit moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Dear Daddy, dear Mom, I love you. I miss you.
Every year, Snowball Express honors the children of fallen soldiers. Hi, everybody, I'm Tony Orlando. Join me in proudly supporting Snowball Express, a nonprofit that creates opportunities to help heal the children of our fallen heroes. We can never repay the sacrifice our soldiers have made, but we can honor them by giving back to their children. Donate now at snowballexpress.org.
Clarity of thought, clarity of vision, clarity of message.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.
Again, Dan Newman.
Looking at corruption in the Obama Department of Justice before Trump, and even though Obama was gone, the corruption wasn't gone, neither were many of those in his Department of Justice that ended up, at least initially, being carried over to the Donald Trump administration. Now, we could spend the day, the entire day, discussing in detail all of the known investigations underway today that include all of those people above, every one of them, and a bunch of other people. But most of them and the details of their alleged wrongdoing are, on the most part, public knowledge already. What remains unknown is just how deep and how wide are the methods and the array of people who have been and are part of a connected, concerted plan to destroy President Donald Trump and his administration, his implemented and pending policies, and to stall any of his appointments, including that, of course, of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, who is almost surely a shoo-in to be the replacement on the U.S. Supreme Court for Justice Anthony Kennedy. What is amazing to me is that all these and everyone else who play any role in this coordinated effort to end the Trump White House actually felt that any and all of the illegal, unethical, and immoral acts they committed, and in some cases are still committing, were and are justified. Why? Simply because of this. They have, in their minds, a worthy goal of ridding the nation of President Trump. What is more amazing to me is that all of these and everyone else in these roles honestly felt and feel they were going to be successful in their quest to unseat a duly elected president and do it without the American public knowing about it and approving it. They can't get by this. Americans elected Donald Trump president. If any American is not incensed at the fact that appointed and hired individuals who supposedly work for the American people would participate in this political coup, you have no loyalty to your country and its representative democracy policies and procedures. You know what's almost humorous? It's not, but it's almost. All those on the left, led by their media mouthpieces, those who invented, implemented, and have maintained the bogus Russia collusion case, are actually guilty of the same crimes they invented and were confident would be successful at getting rid of Donald Trump. There is no Russia collusion. But there is collusion. Let me explain. The American public has yet to be shown the evidence that intelligence community individuals and several in Congress have sworn to us verify Russian attempted hacking of the 2016 election. Even if it does really exist, and I still have my doubts, I'm one of those, I'm not from Missouri, but I'm kind of like being from Missouri, the show me state, show me the evidence. There obviously was no involvement with the Trump campaign. Nothing's been showed to be true. If there was, folks, believe me, the master leaker of all, Robert Mueller, would have somehow got it into the press. But there is verified collusion between the other campaign and the Russians, the Hillary Clinton campaign. Hillary's campaign funded the Steele dossier, knowing it was full of false information. We know it too because James Comey, under sworn testimony before Congress, said there was nothing truthful in it. The Steele dossier was promoted by James Clapper and James Comey to the FBI to instigate the fake Russia collusion story and the subsequent appointment of a special counsel. Who's that special counsel? James Comey's buddy, Robert Mueller. Further, more and more information leaks out daily showing just how in the tank members of senior FBI management were in the act of action to derail the Trump presidency. Not just looking at it, they were involved in it. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, as more of their private texts and emails are revealed, prove there were intense actions initiated and managed by upper-level management members of both the FBI and Department of Justice to accomplish that objective. What is going to happen? When is whatever it is going to happen? I really don't have an idea. I have my suspicions, though, that they involve the execution of a bunch of those 50,000-plus sealed federal indictments that are on standby in federal district courts all around the nation. I suspect fall of 2018 is going to initiate the peeling of the onion of corruption that obviously dwarfs that ever witnessed in the United States government. In the meantime, Donald Trump calls a hurricane headed for the Carolinas. Trump put those illegal immigrant children, you know, in that picture that actually was taken during the Obama's presidency. He did it. Trump did it. Trump single-handedly created global warming that will destroy Earth if he is not immediately kicked out of the Oval Office. To summarize it, everything that is bad in the United States, you got heartburn, it's Trump's fault. And it's not just in the United States, everywhere in the world. Everything that's wrong, according to the media, the leftists, and those that hate Trump so much, everything bad on earth is the direct responsibility of Donald J. Trump. Oh, one more thing. All of the good economic news in America is proof of the amazing accomplishments of Barack Obama. After all, nothing good could ever happen in America that wasn't directly attributable to his knowledge, his understanding, his likability, and his compassion. What's next, folks? Well, it's better than a spy novel. James Patterson, you have nothing on what's going on. This is a novel for history. There's a brand new chapter being written almost daily. And we're glad you're along for the ride with us because we're on the ride of our lifetime, folks. I'm sure you'll agree there. You know, we never take you for granted here at the Truth News Network. We want to hear from you. Dan at truthnewsnet.org. Dan at truthnewsnet.org. Have an idea? Have a question? Want to give me a comment? Please let me hear from you. Thanks so much. Sit tight. We're going to be back at TNN.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.